And welcome.
It's the Graveyard Girls, a true crime and mysteries podcast.
Yay!
I remembered. Before we begin our joint episode today, I'm going to mention Patreon, where you can find more content from us, where we are very professional.
Yes, almost as professional as this.
Yes, there's three tiers you can subscribe to.
Yep.
One's just to help us support the show, and
that's it.
And other tiers where you can get more episodes, or another tier where you get more episodes and a t-shirt,
if you like us that much.
But
it's a mixture of things that we sort of cover. It's all sort of cases that we really liked but didn't necessarily fall into the true crime and mysteries exclusively, but we really liked the case as a whole, so we sort of cover them. There's a lot of folklore, some myths.
I found some interesting cases going forward, by the way.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to those.
Artifacts?
Ooh.
I just need to research that more.
I've got one coming up soon that's about curses and cursed things.
Oh, okay. Mm. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
You can send us an email at thegraveyardgirlspod@gmail.com if you want to talk to us, or if you want to recommend cases or stalkers. You can also stalk us on TikTok and Instagram. Or our very own website, which is thegraveyardgirls.co.uk.
Exactly. And there's a bit of everything on there. Like I said, you can message us through that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mostly keep up to date with Instagram in terms of any important information, mainly because it's a lot of work doing all the different social medias.
It is.
We have got better with TikTok. We're posting... Well, actually, I say that. We got better at TikTok, and then we had a week or two where we were a bit shit.
We're just not natural people who take videos of themselves, so it's not a thing we do.
Yeah, so we're having to kind of compensate for that.
We have to write it down every time we need to make a reel.
yeah. And then we spend about 3 hours crying because we don't want to start.
Yeah.
And then we do it really awkwardly.
Yes.
So.
Just like this podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, we've...
Speaking of podcasts.
Yes.
We actually have another podcast called Hidden in the Hollows.
Yes. So we will be advertising that through the Graveyard Girls Instagram page and TikTok. However, if you go onto your podcast apps, you will need to actually search for Hidden in the Hollows, not the Graveyard Girls.
No.
Yeah, so hopefully you like that. It's a bit of a weird one, that one.
It's sci-fi, it's...
Fiction.
Fiction, yes.
So yeah, we've put it under sci-fi, sort of like a fiction podcast is kind of what we're... oh my god, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, so I'm not going to finish that sentence.
I don't know, I kind of got distracted by something outside.
Description. Oh, that's description. The word I was looking for. Okay. Or category.
We are very sleep deprived right now, so I'm very confused.
Yeah, maybe this is a bit like when we used to be on actual night shifts and we're just rambling a little bit. This is the sort of the era that we're... the phase we're entering. Like I said, it's a bit different. It won't really make sense. I think the first... It'll take you a few episodes to get into it.
So it's written that way.
Yeah. It is designed that way, but also I think you might have to persist with it a little bit. So please bear with us with that. I also think, like with this, with the first podcast, I think as the episodes go on, we're getting a bit more confident with it, because it's not full-on acting, but we've kind of got a... acting parts a little bit.
I've got to speak in a news way, and we're like, how do news people speak?
Yeah, and it's like, it's one of those things, you can do it in your head,
yes,
but then when it comes out your mouth, there's like some miscommunication somewhere.
Yeah, because like writing it, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna say it like this, but then coming
to do it,
it's like, oh no.
Yeah, we've really struggled. I think you can kind of tell that a little bit.
Very first episode.
Yeah, it's a bit awkward. So, but I think that's how we were when we first started this podcast. So we're going to have to... I think we've hoped we wouldn't have that issue this time around, because we've been recording for like a good like 6, 7, 8 months now. But apparently now every time we try something new, we go back to being children. So yeah, you're just going to have to bear with that one for a little bit, I think. We promise we will get better.
Yes.
And I think as we've done more, we do sound more confident, even as the episode goes on.
You can hear it.
So we get in there. But yeah, I think you're just going to have to sort of bear with us for the first few episodes. I promise it is something good in the end.
I know. I'm enjoying it a lot, because even writing it and then it's like acting it out, it's making us giggle.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the things we're coming up with, it's like, it's just so random. And like I said, on the outside, none of it makes any sense. And even by the end of this first series, I don't think it will make a whole lot of sense.
Mm.
You'll be starting to get a very basic plot of it. So we're hoping this first series does do really well, because then we can come back for the second series, because we've got ways of how we want to sort of reveal more things, but we want to do it over a few series.
Yes, so if you could you recommend Hidden in the Hollows to friends and family? That would be great.
Yeah, because it's almost like starting again, like with the Graveyard Girls. Like, we're doing really well with that now. We're about like 1,000 followers, so we're spread well with the Graveyard Girls, and that's down to you lot sharing all for us, so that's a big thank you. But yeah, we kind of need to do the same with the Hidden in the Hollows now, because it's, in terms of podcast platforms, we've advertised it as a separate podcast. We've basically like started all over again, so we need to get it out there.
Yeah.
So even if it's not for you and it's not your cup of tea, if you know someone that might like it, if you could share it with them, we'd be very grateful. And I think that's about everything we need to tell you before we jump into the episode.
I think so.
Yeah. I think so. I'm sure we'll remember something later on, but it's fine.
That's all I have on my notes. So I think it's everything we needed to cover.
Done very well. Okay, well, today is obviously a joint case,
mm-hmm.
which is something new we've kind of started. It's so we can cover some bigger cases together. And this one, it's a little taster of what you'll be able to get on Patreon, because over on Patreon, I started something called The History of Poisons. And I've sort of been going through and looking at some of like the biggest poisons and the most unusual. And we thought we'd go with a poison episode today to give you a bit of an insight, not only of just what you can find on Patreon, but I've managed to find an unsolved mystery linked with this particular poison.
Mm-hmm.
So Natasha's going to tell you a little bit about this specific poison. And then we'll tell everyone of the little unsolved mystery case.
Okay. So today's case is all about arsenic.
Yes.
So arsenic is naturally occurring substance. It occurs in several forms, often in compounds with other chemical elements. Arsenic and all of its compounds are poisonous, but the toxicity varies. For example, inorganic arsenic, which is arsenic combined with oxygen, chlorine or sulfur, is thought to be the most toxic, while the most organic forms of arsenic are relatively less toxic.
Okay.
Lots of toxic in there.
Yeah, there is. It's a very toxic thing.
It is. Yeah, and when I was researching it, kept coming up with a state. Was it Washington State? Was like, that kept coming up for my research, and I was like, no, I need to, like, compounds of arsenic, not arsenic in soil.
Oh, God. No, I hate it when it does things like that. You're like, no, give me the information I want.
Yes. So in its solid state, arsenic appears as a silver grey, brittle semi-metal that tarnishes in the air. It is about the 52nd most common chemical element on Earth.
Hmm. I didn't actually know that.
Well, I've got all the facts here for you.
No, it's good. I am actually learning something.
And that's what we aim to do. So arsenic has been known since ancient times, though probably in compound form rather than in its pure state. It is used in combination with other materials in pigments, poison gases and insecticides, and it is well known in the former use as a rat poison. Arsenic has a long history of medical applications. Before penicillin was developed, an arsenic compound was used to treat syphilis and yaws. That's just it. Very nice. Surely that would just make everything worse.
Well, at least if you took too much of the arsenic, it's going to kill you off, so you're not suffering with the syphilis anymore because you're dead.
True. Arsenic is used in ammunition manufacturing because it helps to create harder and rounder bullets. Arsenic used in small quantities in semiconductors manufacturing as well. It is used as a preservative in tanning and taxidermy, as well as on the exterior of wood such as deck and playground materials. Yes.
Is it still used?
I don't know. It says
or is this
used.
Like when they
used
to cover everything in lead and then they discovered it was killing people, so all those lead toy cars had to be recalled?
I don't actually know.
Okay.
It just said it was used. I'm assuming that's like past tense?
Hopefully.
I don't know. So in short, though arsenic is an extremely poisonous substance, it has numerous industrial applications and has been widely used for many years. Another potential source of arsenic in our environment is a byproduct of copper smelting, which kind of worries me because I use copper.
Yeah, I was going to say, weren't you doing that with your jewellery?
I do.
Is this how you killed your husband, Natasha?
Well, I do have to smelt my copper in the garage, and that's where he is.
Yeah. And there was another body bag, just to let everyone know, there was another body bag in there the other day when I went in. So husband number two has also been bumped off.
Oh, no. So arsenic occurs naturally in copper ores. During copper processing, arsenic passes from the solid state into the gaseous state and leaves the smelter through the smokestack in the form of toxic dust.
Oh.
I have seen that. So I'm like, oh, shit.
Okay, so make sure you're wearing a mask.
Yes.
Good girl.
Okay. I found 10 facts about arsenics on thoughtco.com for you.
Okay.
So fact number one. Arsenic symbol is AS and its atomic number is 33.
Okay.
It is an example of a metalloid or semi-metal with properties of both metals and non-metals. It is found in nature as a single stable isotope, arsenic minus 75.
Oh.
For chemical people out there. At least 33 radioisotopes have been synthesized. Its most common oxidation states are minus 3 or plus 3 in compounds. Arsenic also readily forms bonds with its own atoms.
Oh.
Factor number two. Arsenic occurs naturally in pure crystalline forms and also in several minerals, usually with sulfur or metals. In its pure form, the element has three compounds, allotropes, grey, yellow and black. Yellow arsenic is a waxy solid that converts into grey arsenic after exposure to light at room temperature. Mm-hmm. Brittle grey arsenic is the most stable form of the element. So fact number three. The element name comes from the ancient Persian word for zarnik, which means yellow orpiment. Orpiment is arsenic trisulfide, a material that resembles gold. The Greek word arsenikos means potent.
Oh, okay.
So it comes from ancient Greek times. Fact number four. Arsenic was known to ancient men and was important in alchemy. The chemical element was officially isolated in 1250 by the German Catholic Dominican Friar Albertus Magnus.
What are religious people doing with... Or is it just saying that he was Catholic is not actually like a...
This is in 1250, so going back to that time, alchemy and religion, I think...
Yeah, kind of together. Merged in. Yeah, that's before the whole magic thing and witches took off.
So early on, arsenic compounds were used in bronze to increase its hardness as colourful pigments and in medicines.
Mm.
Fact number five. When arsenic is heated, it oxidizes and releases an odour similar to that of garlic.
Oh.
Which is interesting. So if you smell garlic, you
might have arsenic?
Yes.
So that's what you got to look out for then when you're doing your jewellery. If you get a sudden whiff of garlic, it's not your vampire husband.
So striking various arsenic-containing materials with a hammer might release the garlic smell.
Okay.
So let's just go start whacking some copper. See if it smells like garlic. No, because then we're poisoning ourselves,
aren't
we? Also,
is that not a really good way to disguise the arsenic if it smells like garlic? And someone will be like, is there a poison? And you go, no, it's just garlic.
Oh, yeah, I just got some garlic bread with me.
Ooh, actually.
Oh, I could do for with a some food garlic to put bread.
It in. Well, I do fancy some garlic bread, but also if you are plotting anyone, it's a good way to hide it in the garlic bread, isn't it?
True. Unless you just got
it. Because if especially if you make your own garlic bread, you know where you do the garlic bread, like the paste.
Yeah, you put the copper dust on it.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm kind of worried I've been exposed to arsenic now.
Well, it's still here, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you're immune.
Fact number six. At ordinary pressure, arsenic, like carbon dioxide, does not melt, but sublimes directly into vapour.
Mm.
Liquid arsenic only forms under high pressure.
Okay. So you know these people who do the vapes now? You could have an arsenic one.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Might see a new poison epidemic soon.
Interesting. So fact number seven. Arsenic has long been used as a poison, obviously, but it's readily detected. Past exposure to arsenic may be assessed by examining hair.
Mm-hmm.
Urine and blood tests can also assess recent exposure. The pure element and all its compounds are toxic. Arsenic damages multiple organs, including the skin, the gastrointestinal tract, immune system, reproductive system, nervous system, and the...
So we can use it for birth control?
It's like the extreme birth control. You're not going to have, like, anything left if it breaks everything down.
I mean, depending on how you want to look at it, if you never plan on having any children, it's not necessarily a problem, is it?
Okay. Inorganic arsenic compounds are considered more toxic than the organic arsenic. While high doses can cause a quick death, low dose exposure is also dangerous because arsenic can cause genetic damage and cancer. So,
okay.
Yes, you can prevent yourself from getting pregnant, but cancer?
Yeah, okay.
Which is, yes. Arsenic causes epigenetic changes, which are heritable changes that occur without the alteration of DNA. Fact number 8. Although the element is toxic, arsenic is widely used. It is a semiconductor doping agent. It adds a blue colour to pyrotechnic displays.
Oh!
The element is added to improve sephricity of lead shot. Arsenic compounds are still found in certain poisons, such as insecticides. The compounds are often used to treat wood to prevent damage by termites, fungi, or mould. Arsenic is used to produce linoleum, infrared transmitting glass, and a... used as a depilatory, which is a chemical hair remover.
Oh.
Mm.
Okay.
Arsenic is added to several alloys to improve their properties. Fact number 9. Despite the toxicity, arsenic has several therapeutic uses.
Oh.
The element is an essential trace mineral for proper nutrition in chickens, goats, rodents, and possibly humans.
Oh.
It may be added to livestock food to help the animal put on weight. It has been used as a syphilis treatment, which I said earlier, a cancer treatment, and skin...
Oh, so it can cause cancer but also cure it?
I think it's probably like, you know, those people who have a nut allergy that if you give them, like, microscopic nuts...
Oh, okay.
That, like, it kind of helps them.
Sorry.
Yeah. So tiny little bit of a nut, it kind of gets... builds up their immune system to maybe that. So as well as cancer treatment, it's also a skin bleaching agent.
Oh.
Which
I don't really want to be doing that.
You don't need that. Some species of bacteria can perform a version of photosynthesis that uses arsenic rather than oxygen to obtain energy.
Oh.
In fact number 10, the element abundance of arsenic in the Earth's crust is 1.8 parts per million by weight. Approximately a third of the arsenic found in the atmosphere comes from natural sources such as volcanoes, but most of the elements come from human activity such as smelting, mining, especially copper mines, and released from coal-burning power plants. Deep water wells are commonly contaminated with arsenic. So now on to the uses. So arsenic and arsenic compounds have been produced and used commercially for centuries. Current and historical uses of arsenic include pharmaceuticals, wood preservatives, agricultural chemicals, and the application in mining, metallurgical, glassmaking, and semiconductor industries, which I said earlier. Arsenic was used in some medicine applications until the 1970s.
Well, that's quite late on.
Yeah. Inorganic arsenic was used in the treatment of leukemia, psoriasis, and chronic bronchial asthma.
Oh.
I don't think you really want arsenic in your throat or your lungs.
So maybe that's why your old copper smelting of your jewellery isn't getting to you. Because you always struggle with a sore throat. So maybe you've been exposed to it in your past.
Oh no, does this mean I'm going to be a living statue?
Oh, maybe.
Oh no, that's on Patreon.
Go check it out. Quick, subscribe.
Plug. And organic arsenic was used in antibiotics for the treatment of spirochetal and protozoal disease. It's very hard to say some of these words.
I know, why do they make them so complicated?
I know, especially when there's like a Z and a T and a I and a... It's Too many. Okay. Arsenic and arsenic compounds are used for a variety of other industrial purposes. Elemental arsenic is used in the manufacturing of alloys, particularly with lead.
Okay.
And copper. Gallium arsenide and arsine are widely used in the semiconductor and electronic industries because of its high electron mobility as well as light emitting electronic, magnetic and provoltaic properties.
Well done.
Gallium arsenide is used in high speed semiconductor devices, high powered microwaves and millimeter wave devices, and optoelectronic devices including fiber optic sources and detectors. Arsenide is used as a doping agent to manufacture crystals for computer chips and fiber optics.
It's used in a lot more than I thought.
Yes. This is why...
That was me, like, it's just the inheritance powder.
And yeah, there's you just thinking, like, my bit would be tiny. It's like, no, I have a massive part too. So yeah, basically everything has arsenic in.
Yeah.
Well, pretty much.
Without us even realising.
Mm-hmm. So arsenic and arsenic compounds are used in manufacture pigments, sheep dips, leather preservatives, and poisonous baits. They are also used in catalysts, pyrotechnics, anti-fouling agents in paints, pharmaceutical substances, dyes and soaps, ceramics, alloys, and electrophotography.
Also, you can bathe in it as well as eat it. It's quite nice.
Oh. Historically, the USA has been the world's largest consumer of arsenic.
Ooh.
Prior to 2004, about 90% of arsenic consumed as arsenic trioxide was manufactured as wood preservatives.
Right, okay.
So, symptoms. If you have been exposed to arsenic, which by the sound of it,
we all have at some point.
Yes. So, symptoms of arsenic poisoning may include red or swollen skin.
Right, okay.
Skin changes such as warts or lesions, abdominal pain, nausea and vomiting, diarrhea, abnormal heart rhythm, muscle cramps, tingling of fingers and toes. So long-term exposure to arsenic can cause more severe symptoms, obviously. Okay. And obviously you should seek medical
attention immediately.
So if you're suspected of long arsenic exposure, your darkening of skin, constant sore throat.
So not the tan you want.
No. But if it's used as like a lightening skin thing.
Oh yeah, the bleaching one.
Strange.
Mm.
And finally, a persistive digestive issues. According to the World Health Organization, long-term symptoms tend to occur in the skin first and can show up within 5 years of exposure.
Oh.
Cases of extreme poisoning may lead to death, obviously. So the most common causes of arsenic poisoning, contaminated groundwater is the most common cause of arsenic poison.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because arsenic is already in the ground.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Also, groundwater can contain runoff from industrial plants. Drinking arsenic-laden water for a long period of time can obviously cause poisoning. Other causes of arsenic poisoning can include breathing air that contains arsenic, smoking tobacco products, breathing contaminated air from plants or mines that use arsenic, living near industrialized areas, being exposed to landfill or waste sites, breathing smoke or dust from wood or waste that was previously treated with arsenic, and finally, eating arsenic-contaminated food. But that's not very common.
Well, not now, thankfully.
Not now.
But when we go into my case, it may be that arsenic-contaminated food is a big killer.
Is this a nice little segue to get into your case?
I think it might be. You might have ended that very well. Because I do have an unsolved mystery for us, and it's a good old-fashioned murder mystery.
Murder.
So this is the murder, the South Croydon poisonings. Now, it is quite a prolific case. It was quite a major one at the time. And if you type it into Google, it does pop up quite a lot. So it's quite popular. But I hadn't heard of it before, I'll be honest.
It doesn't sound familiar.
No. So for this episode, I'm going to take you all the way back 100 years to 1928. Well, almost 100 years. We're not far off now. At first I was like, that's ages ago. And then I was like, oh no, it's only 100 years ago.
But
it's a bit scary, that is, isn't it?
It doesn't sound that long ago.
No, it doesn't. Not now with 19, because you're like, oh, the, like 1900 was like just like last decade, but then I'm forgetting. We're in 2022.
We're in 1990.
But yes, so all the way back into 1928, between April 1928 and March 1929, three people from the same family died in mysterious circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, their deaths remain unsolved. There is some suspects, but technically still unsolved. So the first to die would be Edmund Duff, age 59. So after returning home from a fishing holiday on the 28th, Edmund complained of nausea and leg cramps after eating his dinner.
Mm-hmm.
During the night, Edmund's sickness worsened and then he started to experience symptoms of diarrhea. A Dr. Binning was called to treat Edmund, but his condition worsened and he died during the night.
Oh.
Yeah, not very good. So, fast acting.
Yeah, you don't really want to die when you've got diarrhea.
Because at first I was like, it doesn't seem that bad. It's just like you feel a bit sick and you got the shits. But then I'm also forgetting that at the time, diarrhea was a real big killer. So,
yeah, because when you said, like, he called for the doctor, it's like, it's just diarrhea. Just get over it. But you know, this is like a different time.
Yeah, and it's a big problem. So there would be a gap of 10 months before the second death, which was on February the 14th, 1929. So very unlucky Valentine's Day for someone. Edmund's sister-in-law, Vera Sidney, died in similar circumstances after eating her lunch. She would complain of the same pains, and after days of cramps and vomiting, she died on February the 16th, 1929. So she's had a lunch, she starts feeling a bit ill like Edmund, and then hers is going to go on for days, so the poor woman, hers is really dragged out. At least Edmund bumped in about 12 hours, he's all right. So, and I don't think she was crapping her pants, she was just bringing it up the other way instead.
I know, I was just thinking, like, which way would you rather go, shitting yourself to death or not?
I don't know, I don't like being sick.
I know.
But I mean, I'm not that I enjoy shitting myself either, but
no, neither of these are pleasant.
No. So then, just 1 month later, on the 5th of March, Violet Sidney, the mother of Vera, and so obviously mother-in-law to Edmund, fell ill. Like Vera, it was after her lunch. However, she died just a few hours later. So she's had the quickest death.
Maybe they shouldn't eat lunch.
Maybe that is the lesson here.
It's like everyone died after eating lunch.
Oh no, I think Edmund's was after dinner.
Oh, okay.
So then the inquest that followed ruled that at least two of them had been murdered. So initially they weren't too worried about Edmund. It was the two ladies, because very close together and very suspicious. Then the murder weapon being arsenic.
Ooh.
So in the following years, the case was still followed and the blame pointed at a number of family members. At one point, the prime suspect was Edmund's wife, Grace, with her motive being that she was having an affair, and it was claimed that she'd killed her sister and mother for financial gain.
Ooh. Yeah, I was suspecting. Yeah,
it's always the other half, isn't it? They're always the first one to go. So at an inquest held into Edmund's death on May the 2nd, 1928, Grace took the stand to recount the events leading up to her husband's death. She was said to be tearful and hesitant on the stand, though she didn't say anything that could incriminate her, and many were not nice about her at all. So everyone was... I don't know if it's because people didn't like her or it was a bit of a jump on the bandwagon after the fact.
Yeah.
So William Fernley Whittingstall, the family's legal defence, was supposed to have said that Grace was the devil incarnated.
Ooh.
Yeah, so he really was shitting on her.
I think it's because she was a woman as well. They're just like, oh, yeah. She's evil.
And several family members have obviously disappeared, because it's technically her sister and mother that have also died. So everyone's a bit like, yeah, must be Grace. She's a bit shit. So also to make accusations against her was her aunt. Aunt Gwendolyn had been invited to lunch, which resulted in the death of Vera, so the very same lunch. The aunt had also become seriously ill but survived, and she would go around telling everyone, anyone that would listen, that Grace had tried to kill her. So I don't know if she's a mad aunt or...
She's probably one of those women who was like, don't get enough attention.
Yeah, but also so I feel like she was like maybe a bit ugly and old and
she tried to kill me as well.
But yes.
Like we were talking about earlier, that girl who got like impaled and then there's other ones like, I feel sick. It's like, oh, for God's sake.
Because it's not about you.
Yes.
Yeah, so obviously Aunt Gwendolyn wanted her 5 minutes of fame. It was claimed by some family members that even Violet, who later died, had blamed Grace after the death of Vera. So they're saying that also the mum was dobbing her own sister in. But I don't know how accurate that is, or whether it's just people, again, jumping on the bandwagon after the fact.
If it wasn't her, I'd be like, I wish it was me anyway, because you're accusing me. Fuck off.
Yeah, so then obviously, if you want to believe Aunt Gwendolyn, then she obviously must have had to shut her mum up afterwards, because, you know, the mum believed it was her own daughter. But, you know, I'm taking that with a pinch of salt. So, however, not all were in fear of Grace. It was noted that the coroner had made special arrangements for Grace to be provided with a pot of tea as she sat in the witness box. Grace did insist, however, that the ladies in the public seats behind her also be given tea. So, it was a bit strange at the time, because she shouldn't have just... They wouldn't normally bring in a pot of tea. Which was a bit divided. Obviously, the coroner liked her. Some suggested he fancied her. And that's why he did it. And I think then maybe she did the whole, oh, make sure the ladies behind me get some as well, to sort of deflect from the fact.
Yes. It's like, I would never kill anyone. See, I'm sharing my tea.
With everyone, yes. I also think, like, she got the little finger. You know, like what Americans classically think of British drinking tea. That's how I feel like this went down.
The little pinky in the air.
Yeah. Yes. So was she an evil killer who masked it with feminine gentleness, or was she caught up in some sort of family feud in which they were trying to blame her? So going back into her past, and I wanted to sort of look into the motives given. So Grace Duff was the granddaughter of Thomas Sidney, who had been the Lord Mayor of London from 1853 to 1854.
I thought the last name sounded familiar.
Mm-hmm. So very important family. She was a very beautiful woman who was charming, with big blue eyes, and had an abundance of social connections and could have any man she wanted.
Not where I thought you was going when you said big.
What did you think I was going to say? Like, she was a big lady?
Big bosoms.
Oh, okay. Or a big bottom.
So then she could get any man she wanted.
Maybe she did have a big bosom. Her choice of men was Edmund Duff, who she married in 1911. This was a marriage her parents did not approve of. Edmund was of lower standing and didn't have much money, so...
This is reminding me of a case you did, and it's like William Pook.
Yes, the Pooks.
Yeah, the Pooks and the Duffs.
But yeah, so I wonder if this is where her family sort of started to have issues with her, and this is where, if she didn't do it, could she have got lumped in because her family are blaming her for a lot of things? Like, could this have started a family feud? So after a career in colonial services, Edmund Duff returned to England in 1919. This was due to the fact that the couple's 7-year-old daughter, Margaret, had suddenly died. Now, I don't know what she died of. I couldn't find any records for that. So I don't know whether it was just a normal...
Children die at this time. Yeah.
Or if it was suspicious. But there was nothing to suggest it was suspicious. Edmund held a well-paid job in the civil service, but in 1924, for unknown reasons, he was dismissed from his post. So this then... meant he had to take a low-paid job as a clerk in a paper factory. Soon after this, the couple's 2-year-old daughter, Suzanne, became suddenly ill and died. Again, I don't know what from, although it is starting to look a little bit suspicious. It's either very unfortunate or suspicious.
Yeah, it's hard to say because, like you said, lots of children didn't make it past a certain age during this time. But is that being helped with arsenic?
Exactly, especially if you want to go later on. So I wonder if this is where people were a bit quick to judge her. So though Edmund was not paid well, the couple did not go without. Grace's father had left her with a substantial inheritance. However, Edmund's extravagant lifestyle and poor investment choices meant the couple were fast losing money. With mounting debts, Grace took the decision that they needed to downsize, and so they moved to a smaller house in South Park Hill in Croydon. They would then move again to Burt Hurst Rise to be closer to Grace's mother and unmarried sister, and they obviously be the ones that later died.
Is this before or after the children died?
After.
Okay, I was going to say she decided to downsize the family, literally.
Oh, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe she did. Now, next, according to registers, a lady by the name of Miss Anna Maria Kelvey was living with Edmund and Grace and their two surviving children as a paying guest. So I'm wondering, maybe possibly rented the room out. So when you look at, oh my God, what's it called?
The lodger?
No, the official records. It's not a poll. Census. That's the one. So this is, it lists this lady as living in the house as a paying guest. Unexpectedly, in January 1927, Kelvey died, leaving gifts worth £25, which is £1,500 in today's money, ooh, to each of the two children. Could Miss Anna have also been a victim of poisoning? This has been linked like many years afterwards, but at the time there was nothing suspicious about her death. And I don't think was the youngest, yeah. So I think it was just put down as natural causes.
It's very unfortunate if all these people are dying around her and she had nothing to do with it.
Exactly. Which is why I feel like she might have become a suspect.
Mm.
So after Grace's mother and sister died, Grace's brother was also put forward as a suspect.
Oh, I thought he was going to say he died.
No. And a motive being that the pair conspired to kill the remaining family members for financial gain. However, the police quickly dropped the brother and focused on Grace as the main suspect.
Because she's the devil.
Yeah. I did later find out the brother's name was Tom, but I couldn't find that initially, so I have found it now. So, Grace's testimony on the stand. Grace had said that she could not remember what her husband had eaten.
Leave it in, I'm leaving that in. What did he eat it?
Maybe she did say it like that. Except for chicken, potatoes and beer. Interesting combination.
Well, as I pointed out, arsenic is used to feed chickens.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Oh.
So she'd said that she'd eaten the same as Edmund. However, he had poured his own beer and that she couldn't remember if the bottle stopper was already in or if the bottle had been opened before. She said she'd sat down with Edmund all evening and didn't think he was seriously ill. She did point out, however, that when he went to bed, his face was flushed and he came over very funny. He said he felt the same as he had when he'd been inoculated for bubonic plague when he'd been out in India many years before. So I don't think there was any immediate concern. So that's either because she is bumping him off and she's ignoring it, or because there genuinely wasn't any concern.
I was like, oh, you just got man flu.
Yeah. No, that's it. So Grace said he wandered about the house all night and was sick and didn't seem to know what he was doing. Edmund then complained of pain in his feet and the next day by 3 p.m. could not get warm. She said he continued to drink, finishing his flask of whiskey. So this was then put forward, if it wasn't in the beer, could it have been in the whiskey? When the doctor did come later, he originally put it down to a liver complaint. Edmund's breathing was then deteriorating and he couldn't speak. The doctor then returned and Edmund would die shortly after the doctor's arrival. Fast forward, we'll come back to the doctor.
Yes.
Fast forward to Vera and Sydney's deaths on the 22nd of March 1929. The bodies of Vera and Violet were exhumed. This would then spark interest in Edmund's death and his body was exhumed on the 15th of May. So, I wanted to go into the pathology of the case. So, Vera's death was stated as being due to arsenic poisoning, most likely in liquid form.
Mm-hmm.
Violet's death was also ruled as arsenic poisoning, administered through her medication.
Mm.
A search of Violet's and Vera's house led to police to find a tin of Noble's liquid weed killer and a tin of Eureka weed killer. Both contained arsenics in it, which was common for the time.
Yeah, then again, the medicine may have contained arsenic anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it was noted that the weed killer had not been purchased by Grace, but by her brother. He couldn't provide a receipt from where it had been purchased, and the brother had also frequently visited Grace's house, and he'd been around when Edmund was ill. He'd been back after the fishing holiday, so maybe it makes him a bit iffy. A police report was put forward that the pair had conspired to kill Edmund after Grace told her brother of violence Edmund had shown towards her. Another theory looked at by the police concerning Grace and her brother was that the pair conspired to kill Edmund so Grace could marry the doctor who it was said she was supposed to be in love with. they would then bump off the mum and sister for money. None of this was ever proven, but this is everything that's being bandied about at the time. Kind of makes sense.
It kind of makes sense, but it also plays out like it's a TV show.
Yeah, and also there's no physical evidence to actually convict them. They know the brother purchased the Wii Killer, so that kind of gets Grace off the hook, but it also doesn't mean that Grace couldn't have done it by herself. She could have just used it.
Yeah, she may have seen it and been like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So who was it? Was it Grace? Was it her brother Tom? Or was it the doctor? Now...
Well, if it's the doctor, it goes against everything he's supposed to do. Yes.
Well, I was a bit confused, because then I was thinking, is there any possibility it could have genuinely been an accident? Because the cooks and stuff were looked at the time, and none of them had been any ill, like, and none of them bore any ill sort of feelings towards any of the family members. So could it have been an accidental poisoning? Like, rat poisoning was around. I looked at other cases that I know we've covered at the time. It was a massive problem. So I'm thinking, could it have just been an accident? And in the...
Just unfortunately, it's the same family.
Yeah, and it's a case of, because they've gone digging for stuff, they've uncovered a lot more. So it could be that. So I made a few other notes as I was going along, and other bits I found as I went along. So Grace and the children ate the same as Edmund. So why weren't the rest of Grace and the children ill if it was something that had been put in the food? So that does kind of knock out the whole of the cooks done it, because then they should have all been ill. Also, and this is where the doctor gets a bit suspicious of me, it was the same doctor that treated them all. Just saying.
But back in those times, family doctors, you'd have the same doctor.
Yeah, it wasn't uncommon. Yeah. But if the doctor's going to bump him off...
It goes against the doctor's oath, is all I'm saying.
But we do have killer doctors.
Yes.
So...
I don't know. It's just... it's hard.
It's a strange one. So then I managed to find some information about Edmund's postmortem. Okay. Much later. It took me a while to find this bit. So there was no sign of food poisoning or any toxins beside medicine given by the doctor in Edmund's saying. That then means, and at the time, the coroner had ruled natural causes for Edmund's death. So he was only exhumed because of Vera and Violet. Mm. So does that mean Edmund wasn't bumped off and asked it poisoning? Was he completely unrelated to the other two? And that the, in which case, could it have been someone else going after the mum and the daughter? Possibility.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's just those two. And then, yeah, you're like, oh, you're digging those two up. Let's dig that one up just in case. And it's like, oh, this one's...
Mm-hmm. So, but then this is where it takes a turn. Obviously, because Vera and Violet get bumped off, they've got to exhume Edmund and do another postmortem. And when they did that, they re-examined him, and his body was so saturated with arsenic that he'd have had to have swallowed a considerable amount.
Okay.
When the doctors who performed the first autopsy were called back to the stand to explain why they'd only tested one organ, which happened to be the only organ not to have arsenic in it when they did the retesting. I'm not entirely sure how that works. Was it just a pure...
fluke?
Yeah. Or was that a bit deliberate? Were they pally with the doctor if you want to...
Move in the same circles.
Yeah. Throw the doctor under the bus.
But then again... the ground could be very filled, like, arsenic soil.
But then would you not expect to see that in other bodies that have been exhumed? I think, like, this was, like, a ridiculous amount it was found.
She'd just pour it all over him.
So I'm just, I know, I'm just sort of thinking, could the doctor have injected him with something? Could he have genuinely just had sickness and diarrhea? And then the doctor gives him stuff to make him better.
Yeah.
And then he's, you know, he's bumped off.
Well, maybe
I don't know how he would have done it in Vera and Violet's lunch, though.
Maybe he...
Unless he was coming to drop off Thingy's medication and he, I don't know, had took a needle in the sandwich, in the chicken.
I don't know, because like it said, arsenic was used in medicine. Maybe in his mind it was like, this will make you better.
Maybe.
But accidentally it doesn't.
I don't know.
Because, you know, like, they'd always put leeches on thinking that would help. Yeah. And, like... obviously, then knowledge
actually,
of medicine.
Depending on what it was, it actually made it worse. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah, the only other person, obviously, I wanted to have a try and do a bit more of a dig on was Tom, the brother.
Mm-hmm.
So I found out that he was a professional entertainer, very short of money, and he was currently depending on his mother's money. So I feel like out of the two, he's probably got more of a motive than Grace.
Yes.
The only thing that does throw Grace under the bus is two of her children have died.
That's what I was going to ask. Did they not exhume them?
No. So she could be a serial killer if it is Grace. Or she could just be incredibly unfortunate. That half of her family have been bumped off.
She could be incredibly unfortunate. Or her brother actually did it. And then he was like, oh, how am I going to maybe put the suspicion on someone else? Murder her husband.
Okay, that's a good idea. But yeah, I was looking into the theories about the whole the brother tried to kill him off after she'd spoken about abuse. I couldn't, beyond it being hearsay, I couldn't find anything on that. So I don't know whether it was just a wild police guess theory that they were sort of stabbing at, or whether there was anything actually to it. But there was nothing other than Edmund did drink a lot, so I suppose it could make him violent. But I don't think there wasn't loads of reports of neighbours and cooks saying like he was a really violent person. So I don't really know, but it's an interesting one. It's still unsolved. We don't know who poisoned him.
Well, it's not
going
to be solved now, is it?
No, it's not now. But yeah, so we don't know who poisoned them or how exactly. We just know some of it would have been liquid form, which would explain the weed killer. Obviously, one, they could have added it to a medication. Edmund, I have no idea how they've done it. Probably added it to his whiskey. And the doctor did continue to let him drink the whiskey. So, like I said, I shouldn't throw the doctor under the bus, but
whiskey is supposed to be medicinal in some...
Yeah, I think it's just like, yeah, drink a bit more alcohol, you'll be fine, mate. Which is funny, because at first you thought he had a liver complaint. So I'm like, should you be letting him drink more whiskey?
But did they know at that time?
Yeah, I don't think they...
So.
I don't know, it's 1929. It's not that long ago.
I'm still thinking like 1800s.
Yeah.
They're thinking, oh, you have a cough? Here is cocaine.
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah, I mean...
Probably, it might work.
It might work.
But yeah, so very interesting one. So they are one of the most notable unsolved murders. Possibly an accident. I do wonder if it could have genuinely been an accident.
I think because arsenic is everywhere, it might have genuinely been an accident.
Yeah, so maybe it was just very unfortunate. Although, like I said, I can see why they did throw Grace under the bus.
Yeah.
She does look a bit sus with all the family mysteriously disappearing.
With her big... blue eyes.
And bosom.
I genuinely thought he was going to say bosom.
Maybe she did have a big bosom. We don't know.
Maybe that's what the article implied. It's like, oh yeah, she has very big eyes.
Yes. Maybe. Maybe there's another fancy man. Like I said, it was suggested she'd had affairs, but again, no proof. So could she have been having an affair with the doctor she's supposed to be so infatuated with? Maybe the doctor didn't want to hang around anymore. And he was like, right, I'll bump off the family. I mean, the best place to do it. No one's going to know. He could have paid off that first post-mortem. What are they called?
Coroner.
Yeah, that's the one. Could have paid them off. Because it was interesting how, you know, it just wasn't picked up at all in Edmund's initial one. And he was listed as natural causes.
So which organ did they look at? And then they're
I don't know. So I'm presuming heart. Yeah. And that was obviously not saturated. And then when they re-looked his body, apparently his body was riddled.
Just glowing.
And that one was still not saturated with arsenic, but it happened to be the only organ that wasn't. So was it just pure, like, they just thought the test of the first one, going, oh, there's no arsenic poisoning in this, the rest of it will be fine. And it just, that was a very poor decision.
It was a Friday, they're like, I want to go to the pub.
Go home, yeah. Or was it a cover-up?
Interesting.
But lots of little things to think about there. But yeah.
I've enjoyed today's case.
I know, it's been quite unusual. I like the mixture with the facts and everything else. But yeah, before, I think if we hadn't had the whole facts and about how much arsenic is everywhere.
Yeah, we'd just be like, it was her.
Yeah, we'd have thrown her under the bus, I think. But yeah, interesting. So I don't know. We're never going to know.
No.
What happened. But I thought it was interesting. I also really imagine as well, the mum and the sister are like proper like arsey. Like they're just grumpy all the time and a bit miserable.
Yeah, they probably...
Because she's never been married, the sister. That's why she's still living with her mum. And I don't think she's old, but I feel like she's in her 30s. Like, I feel like the sister should be the older sister.
So she's a spinster.
Yeah.
Or whatever they call it, a thornback.
And then, yeah, and her and fucking Aunt Gwendolyn. Yeah. Like, best mates.
As soon as the name was Gwendolyn, I was like,
Yeah, I feel like she's a bit of, you know, one of those really grumpy aunts. Yeah. And she's just, I don't know, like the horrible aunt or something. I'm also kind of thinking the witches, you know, the old sort of books.
Yeah.
That's what I'm imagining.
Yeah, she married beneath her. That's why she's the outcast. It's like, at least she married someone who she loved. This was
it. You can imagine at family like meals, it being quite a big thing. Because not only is it, it's not like she's just married below her, it also turns out he's obviously got a bit of a money problem as well. So it's almost like, I told you so. And look, now you used to have a grand house and now you have a shitty house. And do you know what I mean? It's...
And she's like, well, at least I'm happy. Unlike you.
Although, is she? If she's having affairs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she, you know, she's a bad girl.
We don't know anything.
We don't. But yes, I thought it was a good little arsenic case to throw in. And if you've liked the poison ones, I suggest you head over to Patreon, because I've looked at like a brief history of poisoning, and I did an episode the other week on a rather unusual poison that is surrounded in sex myths.
Was that the daddy fruit?
Yes, daddy fruit. So if you like the whole poison ones, there will be more poison ones to come on Patreon, because I want to look at quite a few of them. But yeah, if that's something you liked, I suggest you head over to Patreon, because we have some very interesting episodes over there.
Yes. And on that note,
in the meantime,
keep creeping
and we'll keep digging.